Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2. We'll be starting at verse 21. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the Lord required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we too, with Simeon, want to give you joy. We want to rejoice before you. We want to praise you, Lord, for your awesome love and faithfulness that was poured out on us with the birth of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you would help us too, like Simeon, to receive him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever seen a Christmas list with only one item on it? It would be a rare occurrence around our house to receive a Christmas list with only one item on it. Normally, Christmas lists have a couple of things in common. One is that they have several things on them, so it's full of lots of different things. But the other thing about Christmas lists, at least as they are at our place, they're often changing. You know, one of the kids will see a commercial for something different, and he'll have to make sure he gets to mom and dad and say, I don't anymore really want what I told you before. Now I really want this. So I need to change my Christmas list. So Christmas lists seldom have just one thing on them. They're usually full of lots of different things. And those things are very changeable. They're kind of like written in pencil, you know, so that you can always, at the last minute, erase it and put something different down. Because our desires are a little bit fickle. They change from time to time. And it's hard to put them all on one thing. So our Christmas lists are full and often changing. It would be hard if you had to choose just one thing for Christmas. I'm not sure what I would do if I received a Christmas list that had only one item on it. But it would definitely arouse my curiosity. I mean, what could possess somebody to have a Christmas list with just one thing on it? Just one thing. Not to settle for one thing, like if times were difficult and the finances just weren't there, but to choose just one thing. To say that this is the only thing that I want for Christmas. It seems to me that there could be maybe two different reasons for that. The first is that maybe the person could be like my Uncle John. Uncle John, when we exchanged names for Christmas time, we were also supposed to put on with the name a few things, you know, as a Christmas list for the person to work from. Uncle John's always came in with just his name on it. He didn't have any kind of list there. And even after a lot of cajoling and having him, you know, go back over to the corner and try to think for a while, it would come back with one thing at the most on it, and it'd be something like socks or underwear, something like that, you know. It wasn't that Uncle John didn't like Christmas. He loved Christmas, but he just didn't view it or expect from Christmas something that was really going to change his life. It wasn't all that important for him to receive something at Christmas. So that's one reason I can think of that somebody might have a Christmas list with just one thing on it. They just really don't care that much what they get. But the other thing could be just the opposite, that they care so much that they've boiled down all of their desires to just one thing. And rather than not looking at Christmas as something that's really going to change their lives, they are banking on it. That Christmas is their one hope to get this one thing that they want more than anything. And so a Christmas list like that says, this is what I want, this is what is going to make me happy, this is what is going to complete my life. Don't even think of getting me anything but this. Christmas list with only one thing on it. Have you ever had only one thing on your Christmas list? Have you ever been able to boil everything down, all of your desires down to just one thing? That is the only thing that you want for Christmas. That isn't an easy thing to do. And not only for Christmas, but for life itself. Because we sometimes look at life like a series of recurring Christmases, you know? In other words, we look at life as a period of time in which we are going to be able to receive all of the things that we want. And so if it's difficult to only have one thing on your Christmas list, it's exceedingly more difficult to have only one thing on your life's wish list. That in all my life, all I really want is this one thing. And the difficulties are the same as why it's difficult to do that on a Christmas list, because there are so many things that we want. And we change our mind from time to time. And so our life's wish list is a lot like a Christmas list that has lots of things on it, and they're all written in pencil. Because we're going to change our mind maybe a year from now, and now we really want something else. And after we get that something else, well, now we need to get another thing too. It's difficult to boil all of life down to just one thing. What could possibly possess someone to ask for only one thing for Christmas? Or, even more so, to only be wanting one thing for their life? Simeon seems to me like the kind of guy who would give you a Christmas list each year with only one thing on it. But not because he was like Uncle John. Just the opposite. Because he had somehow boiled all of life down to just one thing. That was the only thing that he wanted to make his life complete. That's the only thing that he wanted to receive. We're told that Simeon was a man who lived in Jerusalem. It doesn't say that he was any kind of a special man in the sense that he wasn't a priest or maybe a Pharisee or a politician or somebody important like that. He was just a regular guy who or on whom the Holy Spirit rested. On whom the Holy Spirit of God dwelt. A regular guy who had the Holy Spirit. And that meant that God had been revealing certain things to Simeon. That's what it is like to have the Holy Spirit of God rest upon you, that His Spirit reveals things to you. And what Simeon was finding was that as the Lord was revealing things to him through His Holy Spirit, that his life was being reduced. My brother is a chef, and he showed me one time how you, well, first he told me, just reduce it. And I said, what are you talking about? And then he showed me that it's like for a sauce or something like that, you reduce it, you know, you get rid of all the stuff that it doesn't need. I think you usually do it through boiling, I think, to get rid of all the other stuff and make it, you know, more of what it should be. So as Simeon was having things revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, the Lord was reducing Simeon's life. Reducing it. And Simeon was finding that as the Lord reduces you, what it does to your life's wish list is it makes it much smaller and the things on it become more enduring. They aren't written in pencil anymore. They're written in permanent marker. It brings a focus to your desires. A focus to what you want in your life. Now, the Holy Spirit had obviously been speaking to Simeon for some time. It takes some time for the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to an individual. It takes time to bring a man or a woman to the point that they are seeking just one thing to make their lives complete. But by this time, by the time of this event, by the time Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus to the temple to be consecrated to the Lord, he was completely focused. He was all the way there. There was only one thing that he was waiting for, and that was to receive the consolation, to see the consolation of Israel. Now, that word consolation is one that we should talk about for just a minute, because it really helps get to the heart of what is going on in Simeon. Why is it that all of his life is boiled down to just this one thing? Well, the word consolation, word which is a paracleson, it's related to the word from which we get the word paraclete from, which means a counselor, an advisor, an advocate, kind of like a really good lawyer. A really good lawyer. Someone you know that you turn to when things are incredibly difficult to find a way out for you. All of you have probably seen television shows where the accused is being questioned, and they finally get to a certain point where they realize they need a lawyer. All right, this is bad. This is bad to the point that I need somebody in here to show me how to get out of here, because I can't get out of here by myself. And so the consolation that Simeon was waiting for Israel was not the consolation that you get, say, after you lose a big game. Or after you fail that important test. It's not the consolation that you receive from someone to tell you that things are going to be all right when the problem can't be changed. Okay? So it's not like receiving the prizes for the second and third place winners on Jeopardy, right? That's not the consolation that Simeon's waiting for. Simeon is waiting for the one who is going to come to lead Israel out of the difficult place that they are in and can't get out of themselves. That is what has been revealed to him over time. So, one of the things then that the Holy Spirit has been revealing to Simeon was the terrible condition that Israel was in. And that as he revealed to him that terrible condition, that is what would inspire Simeon to desire to have someone come to lead them out. Because unless you're convinced about how difficult the situation is that you are in, you are not going to boil your whole life down to waiting for the one who's going to lead you out of the situation. So that's what Simeon had been convinced of. The need. And that's what boiled his whole life down to just one thing. The solution to their need. Things were not at all for Israel what they were supposed to be. They weren't in exile anymore. They were back in Palestine. But things were not at all the way they were supposed to be for God's chosen people. God had told them all throughout their history the kind of life that he wanted for his chosen people. A life of security, a life of peace, a life of prosperity, a life of joy. All of those things. But none of those things were true. Israel had been a pawn in world politics for centuries now, taken over by one power and then another and then another. There was no peace, there was no identity as God's chosen people that they were experiencing and enjoying. Life wasn't for them at all the way it was supposed to be. It wasn't shalom, that kind of peace where everything is just right. And Simeon knew it. But the reason things weren't the way they were supposed to be for God's people, for God's chosen people, was because his people did not choose him back. He had chosen that people. But they had chosen something else. And so as they looked at their life and viewed it as a continuing set of Christmases or what have you, where we're going to try to find all of these different things that are going to make our lives complete, he wasn't on the list. And so they would go to one nation next to them and take from them some things, and from another nation and take from them some things. The heart of Israel's problem, the heart of the reason that they were in the position that they were in, was their own sin, that they had not chosen the God who had chosen them. And Simeon knew that too. Because, as we see in the song that he sang, he was looking for a Savior. So when we ask ourselves what could possibly possess someone to have only one thing on their Christmas list, or even more, to have only one thing on their life's wish list, at least in Simeon's case, we'd have to say that one thing, what could possess him? The Holy Spirit could. The Holy Spirit could so come upon him that his whole life would be boiled down to just one thing. And moved by the Holy Spirit, he finds himself at the temple that day. A day for him just like any other day. I don't know why. When I was growing up, I kept thinking they went there on Christmas Day because that's when I always, you know, would hear about. But it wasn't Christmas Day for them. It was just a regular day. And he went there, moved by the Holy Spirit. Except that day, there was a little baby there. A little baby boy, about 40 days old. Now, little Katie is 51 days old today. So 11 days younger yet, if you're a visitor, my daughter Katie, 11 days younger than Katie. And yet, in that tiny little face and that tiny little body, Simeon saw his whole life. His whole existence narrowed down by the Holy Spirit to just one little baby. And he took him in his arms and he said, "Sovereign Lord, now my life is complete. You've boiled me down to the point where I was looking for just this one thing, and now you've provided that one thing, not only for me, but for all of your people, so now my life is complete. You can take me home. I've received it. The one thing on my list, written in permanent marker, is now checked off. And so you can take me home." The coming of the Christ child made life for Simeon all that it could be. All that life could be is really wrapped up in that one moment of Simeon holding the baby Jesus. Hope. Hope based on what had been revealed to him about this child. Peace. Knowing that the peace of Israel was in God's hands and God was going to bring it about through him. Joy. Joy that to them a Savior had been born. The good news of great joy was there, the deliverer. And love to hold in your arms the one promised, the one from the Father, the one made flesh as just a little baby. The other night, I was holding Kate, and, you know, she can't even hold her head up straight. You hold her and you put her up too straight, and yet, Jesus was like that once, too. He couldn't hold his head up straight. But he would deliver his people with the blood that was in that little baby boy. It was the life that Simeon experienced in that moment that Jesus came to give you. That is having life to the full. When your life has been boiled down to only one thing, and the Lord provides that one thing, which makes everything else different, that's having life to the full. It's not chasing after the wind, as Solomon might say, but having received the certainties of God and his promises. It's hard to believe that one thing could make life complete when there are so many other things to choose from in this world. What could possibly possess someone to reduce their life? Needing and longing after this little baby. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you? Is the Holy Spirit upon you? Has the Holy Spirit been revealing things to you? Boiling your life down. Getting rid of this thing and then that thing. Or showing you that this thing or that thing aren't bringing you the kind of fulfillment you thought they would bring. Has he been revealing things to you, such as the terrible state of your condition? And you're getting to the point of realizing that you really need a lawyer because you can't get out. Has his message begun to cause you to rethink or rewrite your life's wish list? You know, people don't come to Christ. This is a big misconception. People don't come to Christ because they decide to settle for one thing in life. That's not why they come. They don't come because they've decided to settle. They've come to Christ because they truly want only one thing in life. They want life. That's why they come. I've often thought how special Simeon must have been to God for God to promise him that he would not die until he had seen the salvation of Israel. How special he must have been to God. And yet I was thinking this week that I didn't die before I saw it either. And neither of you. That we have all received the benefits of that promise to see before we taste death the salvation of the world. The only question is, will we truly taste life? Will we receive him? The greatest Christmas you could ever have is one in which you get just one thing. Receive the child. Receive the life that he brings. And you will know life that is truly life. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servants in peace. For our eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. May that glory rest upon us this day, Lord. May we all receive your life, that having received true life, we no longer need fear death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.